everyone, Gary Morris here, as we enter the first 24 hours of the Michael Beale era. I'm here with my good friend Ross McLeod to break down what should be in Michael Beale's entry. Welcome, Ross. How's the last 24 hours been for you?
Yeah, it's been good. I'm going to try and be a wee bit more positive on this one. I think I was looking at the negatives of getting a managerial appointment wrong at Rangers, but I'm very happy with Michael Beale and what I've seen in the last 24 hours. So long may that continue, and hopefully the results come with it.
Yeah, certainly. The last time we had you here on the Fourth Official, Ross, we were kind of talking through the various candidates. I think as time wore on, it became very apparent that there was kind of one man earmarked for the role. Despite Ross Wilson's comments yesterday, where he thanked the other managers that had spoken to about the role, not quite sure exactly who he was referring to there, because it very much has seemed, certainly for the last kind of week or so, that it was always Michael Beale's job really to turn down.
Yeah, I think it became obvious, even though it only came out a few weeks later, that he was there for talks with the board. I think we knew as soon as Michael Beale was up there after a superb start with QPR, watching Rangers, it became a matter of time, because Gio was slowly getting from coming across that 50% barrier where he was starting to lose the support a wee bit. And ironically enough, with Michael Beale in the crowd, people joked it was like a father watching him sports day. The team upped their ante that day. They beat Aberdeen 4-1. But yeah, I think it was obvious from the out. Much like Gio was the obvious candidate last year, I think it was very much Beale's to turn down, as you said.
Yeah, so gave his first interview to Rangers TV yesterday, and quite a bit to unpack from that 8-minute interview that he did with Rangers TV, Ross. Going to cover a few bits on this one and then just go into chat about what really the job will entail over the course of the next kind of 2-3 weeks before we get into a period of 5 matches leading up to and including the Celtic game on the 2nd of January. Now, quite a few sound bites that some you would expect in terms of wanting to try and issue a bit of a rallying cry to the fans to get them on side and look to try and get them buying into it. But also, a sense that I got, Ross, was trying to light a fire under some of the players who I think we can all agree have failed to hit the heights this season that they managed to achieve last year.
Yeah, and he rallied that, didn't he? He mentioned about how I'm not taking a job with a broken club, I'm taking a job with the Europa League finalists. He made that clear. Obviously, some of the players there this season didn't make the Europa League final last year, but he also said some of them need a shake and an honest conversation. And he also referenced age. I was on last week talking about the likes of Davis, Arfield, McGregor, some of the more senior statesmen. He said it doesn't seem that age is an issue. It's who's playing well and who's willing to play for Rangers. And that, to me, suggests that everyone is given a clean slate. Everyone is given a fair chance. And it looks like Michael Beale will certainly probably have to work with the tools he's got at the moment. He did mention injuries. He said injuries will need to clear up, but he's not going to allow that to be an excuse for himself.
Yeah, and I think that's certainly part of the reason why I think Michael Beale's in role is due to the fact that he has that relationship already with not all the squad, but certainly a good core of what you would expect to be the squad going forward, and he's certainly got previous in terms of being able to get a tune out of most of them during that momentous 55 season. And I think one of the main things that I took from his interview yesterday with RTV, and subsequently he's gone on to do a piece with Sky Sports, which was released today, was that he's very much looking to try and build on what was a very distinct kind of style of play he had under the Gerrard regime, and obviously since moving on to Aston Villa and then on to QPR, I think it's quite obvious that there's maybe a bit of a disconnect between what Gerrard's methods were and what Michael Beale wants to try and achieve in terms of a kind of style of play. I'm going to quote him here that he wants to drive standards, wants the players to drive the standards after I've done it, lead from the front, here to win. I want to win, and I want to win in style, and I want to make people happy and proud of their club. So maybe not as maybe what we first expected of it. He's going to come back straight in and go with the kind of 4-3-2-1 with the kind of two kind of inverted wingers and the one up top, but maybe looking to try and look to dominate games a little bit more than maybe we saw under the Gerrard era. Certainly making all the noises of wanting to play an expansive and attractive brand of football.
Yeah, he also mentioned on Sky about Gerrard's style of football, about how he also has his own way. He says, when I was here before, Gerrard was the manager, McAllister was the assistant, and I was the first team coach. That was the hierarchy. It's that's not the case this time, he said. And it looks like, yeah, he does have his own ideas. He wants to put his own stamp on things. Maybe a plan, the plan B that we didn't see all too often from Steven Gerrard, maybe that is what Michael Beale's got in his locker. I did enjoy the talks about upping standards. He also said on Sky, when they asked him about, you're going to have the squad ready for December 15th and certainly December 10th for the friendly against Bayer Leverkusen. And he says, we'll be upping standards, we'll be working fast every day. And I like the fact that he delayed training on Monday so he himself could take it. There was no missed day, there was no missed opportunity, there was no, right, let's get in today, take it easy and start tomorrow. No, he wanted to be there the minute he could to take training. And I don't know if you've saw the video Rangers put up of training today.
Yeah, I kind of laughed a little bit that somewhere Dave Voss is looking and going, where's that footage of Scott Wright scoring three into the top corner from 3 weeks ago? But it's they're certainly on the charm offensive to try and show that the players are kind of working hard. I think I've seen quite a few nice bits of footage. Obviously, Ryan Kent scoring a goal, which is something we've not seen too often recently. Mm-hmm. So they're certainly all out in terms of trying to kind of build up this kind of hype train a little bit. And I think that's important because as much as there maybe wasn't universal buy-in from the fans in terms of Beale being the right candidate while we were looking for a manager, I think now that he's in situ and in place, then I would imagine that he's got the support of the vast majority of there, but he needs to hit the ground running and he needs to get a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. So just on your talk of Kent, that 55 season, as you mentioned, 13 goals, a career best, pardon me. We saw him provide a lot more assists that season too. So hopefully more is more to come from Ryan Kent there, just on that wee clip. I think as well, you mentioned some people not possibly being too happy with the appointment. A lot of people saying, oh, well, 22 games, is that all it takes to become a Rangers manager these days? Well, Steven Gerrard had 0 games and came in on name recognition. So we can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't be complaining that someone taken the Liverpool under-18s and had no first team experience as a coach, as an assistant coach or a manager. We can talk about the success he had and then complain that someone who's had San Paolo, Chelsea, Liverpool, Aston Villa, and now a 6-month stint in charge of QPR on their resume, you can't really snort at that. His signing was a big deal when he came to Rangers the first time, and you just need to look at some of the English press who aren't sneering at the fact that he rejected Wolves. They're talking about how Rangers might be the place for young players to come now if they want to work under a coach like Michael Beale. So this, I won't name the journalist who said it, but there is an article in The Guardian that said, Michael Beale is the cosy appointment when Rangers need a ruthless rebuild. I really don't think there's a rebuild there. There is a upping of standards, as he's mentioned, but I'll just take you to the quote on Sky Sports. "I was never anyone's friend. I was the disciplinarian. I was the moaner of the group." So Michael Beale's not afraid to shout at somebody if they're not doing their job. So yeah. I was a bit taken aback not knowing these things. The last show we did, and thought he wouldn't have the guts to come in and break players up. But from the Sky Sports interview, and said where he's a bit more ruthless as he would have been on the Rangers one, it sounds like anyone who's not pulling their weight or anyone who's out of shape, because he did mention diet, he's going to be looking for players' diets, they're out the door. So for me, I've got no hesitations about this appointment.
Yeah, I think it's hard not to put two and two together here and think he's talking about a certain Colombian striker that maybe wasn't in the greatest of condition over the last few months. So very interesting to see what sort of tune that he gets back out of Alfredo Morelos. I think one of the things that we mentioned on the show the last time, Ross, was that any manager coming in is going to have to preside over a period now of kind of 2-3 weeks to kind of get the team and the players ready for that Hibs game on the 15th of December. I've noticed today that there's a proposed closed doors friendly against Swansea, which has now been cancelled because he wants an extra day on the training pitch. And again, that augurs well for, I think, what he's looking to try and do is to get the players in buying under what he's looking to try and do. One of the quotes on the Rangers website from his interview yesterday with Rangers TV, that he mentions that he wants to work with some of the new players that he thinks he's got huge potential. He's got some that have been here before, that have got an idea of how he wants to work, but he mentions that those ideas have changed and grown a little bit. There's a bit more variety, there's different ideas, and he's excited to work with them and he can't wait to get started. So I think it's hard not to look at that and think of maybe players like Alec Lowry, Charlie McCann, Zach Lovely. So young players, I think we all got a little bit frustrated towards the tail end of the Geo campaign, that as much as we were having injury after injury after injury, Leon King aside, he really wasn't looking to get any of our talented young players involved. And I think with the infamous kind of player trading model, we're really looking for the next Nathan Patterson to come out of that academy and really look to try and give us a return. And it's those sort of players that you would like to think that, given Beale's track record and his backroom staff, who we'll come on to chat to a little bit, their background in youth development, that's an area that we're going to have to really do very well in terms of trying to maximise what's coming out of the academy.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think he only played Leon King out of necessity, but not even this season. When you look last season, persisting with players like Ahmad Diallo, who was on loan, a young player that was on loan, or given Alex Lowry that game time, you know, you could have done a lot worse than getting Alex Lowry more minutes. Obviously, he's had his injury issues this season. I mean, Christ, who hasn't had their injury issues at Rangers this season, as we mentioned? But, it'd be good to get players back and get some of these young players playing that exciting style, because Alex Lowry is a player that excited a lot of us. When Gio's domestic style was starting to get a bit turgid, he was a bright spark there. He was given the chance, obviously, in the last game of the season against Hearts as well, scored again. And talking about players he did work with, obviously you mentioned a certain Colombian striker, I'm going to mention him by name now, Alfredo Morelos, and one Ryan Kent, who's came under a lot of pressure this season. I'm looking to see how Beale handles this, because I think Alfredo Morelos, if he's not pulling his weight, pardon the pun, and he has to leave, that's a 1 million signing that's went out the door. You got your money's worth out of him in half a season when he scored 29 goals before Christmas. I don't think that's a bigger loss now that we have the likes of Colak and some more exciting talent coming back in, the likes of Lowry that I just mentioned. But Ryan Kent, that's a £7 million investment. Rangers don't make those investments very often. And I'm just hoping that Beale can get a tune out of him and hopefully get him back to his best, maybe on a new contract. So not if he's staying on, but maybe so Rangers can get a fee back for him, because £7 million is not a fee we spend lightly. And to get nothing back for that £7 million is not something that bears thinking about for the player trading model.
Yeah, but it's difficult to say when we've got nothing back for them, but I absolutely get the comparison between Morelos coming in for £1 million and getting your money's worth from him. I think you could probably make arguments that Kent's been hugely successful for us in a few European campaigns and has maybe allowed us to maybe recoup the investment we've put into him. But again, I absolutely get that the fact that you shouldn't be allowing your best assets to walk out the door for nothing. We managed to get Connor Goldson to sign back on. Maybe when the grass wasn't quite so green for Connor Goldson in the summer in terms of some of the offers that were available, maybe Ryan Kent could be similar in terms of actually he's got a home up here and now a coach who has got experience of doing well for him. Does he then rip that up to maybe go down south, having had the season he's had, maybe not going to have quite so strong an offer that maybe he would have had a year or 18 months ago. So yeah, I think it's absolutely fair. I think Kent's got 6 months to kind of rehab himself and try and get himself either into a position where another club will take a look at him, because just now I don't think that there's many offers there for him, or as we say, we can get him on another deal, even if it's for another year or something, to try and just protect that investment a little bit. I think there's other players in there as well that we do need to look to try and rehab. You've got guys like Glenn Kamara, who were so far out of the picture under the Gio regime. Now, Kamara's still got 2.5 years left on his contract. And given that we brought him in for 50k, then he was a player that we were looking at as being the next maybe £10 million player. You're not going to get half that for him based on how he's performing at the moment. But he's, again, someone who Beale's managed to have get a tune out of before under the Gerrard regime. He's a player that we liked a lot then. And it's interesting to see whether or not he's one that they look at as maybe someone that can come in and try and lift themselves back up again and make them a bit more of an asset than what they had previously.
Yeah, certainly playing to Glenn Kamara's strengths. I think he is definitely more of a holding midfielder and running the play from deep, as opposed to being an attacking midfielder. I know he can get forward, I know he can score goals, but it's not exactly his forte. But that does obviously bring in to question how are they going to get a tune out of John Lundstrom, who hasn't been playing bad, but hasn't been playing well. He's that sort of midfield anchor where Glenn Kamara used to play. And we've saw when he's get forward before, he doesn't... he says he can play as a 6 and an 8, but when we've seen him play as an 8, he's not been as effective as we would like. And it's just, I think it's just about finding everyone's best position again. Because under the Gerrard, it was actually Gio that got the best out of Lundstrom as opposed to the Gerrard regime. I know we mentioned that Beale says he has his own style and his own ideas for certain players, but that just might be a small worry that, right, if we get Glenn Kamara back in there, what's going to happen with John Lundstrom? Because as a former Premier League player, he's certainly going to be on a lot of money, and I don't see him wanting to sit on the bench.
No, and nor should we. I think it's certainly something that the new management team will need to try and get that balance correct in midfield. I think for Lundstrom, for me, this season especially, he's looked leggy. Having played a lot of football over the course of the last 12 months. And I think he probably suffered quite a bit this year from being the one constant in a constantly changing team. So one week it would be Ryan Jack next to him, the next week it would be Scott Arfield next to him, the next week it would be Stephen Davis. And there would be no real consistent, like the James Sands. And I think Lundstrom was the one constant there, and he never really had a partner to bat with, whereas last year where he was at his best was when you had a consistency of selection right next to him. And I think that combined with the kind of rapidness of games. I think he just looked a little bit leggy. So I think the break will have came at a good time for John Lundstrom. And hopefully we'll start to see him back towards his best, because he was certainly a big part of what got us to Seville last year. In terms of his performances. Another couple of players that I want to highlight before we go on to talk about the backroom team that he's assembling, and we know that's not yet been completely finalised yet, Ross. But mentioning his style of play, and I'm wondering whether or not someone like Ridvan Yilmaz could be very much utilised in the second half of the season now, given how much impact our kind of fullbacks played under Gerard and Beale a couple of years back. I don't think anyone really expects Borna Barisic at his age now to be up and down the line quite so much as what he was maybe 2-3 years ago, but there's surely a massive opportunity now for Yilmaz to come in and us to try and bed him in and utilise him now as that kind of expansive fullback that you would expect Beale to want to work with and utilise.
Yeah, well, he is an exciting young talent. Was it $3.5 million Rangers paid for him?
The kind of guts of about $5 million, I think, all in, once you add in some add-ons and things like that as well. But it's not a small chunk of change.
So yeah, players like that certainly don't move for that age, don't move for that price unless they are good players. I think, as you mentioned, Borna Barisic, I think his time is done at Rangers. Whether I'm mentioning Kent and Morelos, whether Beale can get a tune out of them. I just think Borna's a different type of player. He's a confidence level player, and when the confidence goes, so does everything else. Yilmaz brings something different. It's not the dreaded horseshoe and just throwing balls into the box. Ridvan was taking players on and willing to get them out, and he's got that smaller frame that allows him a bit more room. So very excited to see how he'll get on there, because there was reports, they've been rubbished, thankfully, that he wasn't happy with how he'd been, the 6 months at Ibrox had went so far. And coaches in Turkey certainly had their say 2-3 months into his run when he wasn't getting games. But it'll be good to see exciting young players. As we mentioned, the likes of Lowry and Charlie McCann, Adam Devine certainly as well. Hopefully seeing him get a chance at right back in some less important game, shall we say. Two players I was wanting to touch on, but actually two loan signings, James Sands and Malik Tillman. I think at Rangers we tend to give our own young players a bit more time to settle, whereas, you know, when someone like Malik Tillman, who's only 20 years old and this is his first proper season at a top flight club, we just see that $6 million price tag over the head, that rumoured $6 million price tag for a permanent loan deal. And for James Sands, I believe it's $3.5 million. But I'm interested to see how Michael Beale works with both these players, because if he can get a tune out of both of them, because they're no donkeys, they're no poor players. They are playing roles that sometimes maybe don't suit them, but they're not exactly shirking from a challenge. They're standing up and being counted for. And I think if Michael Beale can get a tune out of these players, then the rumoured fees of $3.5 million and $6 million might in time look like small change for the money we could get for them, if Michael Beale is here for the long run and is successful.
Yeah, well, certainly Beale and his backroom staff have got a great deal of history in terms of youth development and kind of taking players on. So you mentioned their age, and they are both relatively young and experienced players. I think Tillman, I look at and go, he's maybe at his point in his career where Joe Aribo was when he first joined Rangers. And the fact that there's plenty of kind of raw ability there, but not a great deal of consistency. And I just wonder that maybe if he moves away from the kind of the wingers style, and it was always what one of Gerard's famous quotes was, we don't play with wingers, we play with two number 10s, but then signed a ton of wingers to play out of position, Jordan Jones, I'm looking at you. But him and maybe someone like Arabi Matondo, as you mentioned earlier, it's a clean slate and an opportunity for some of these players to come in and actually show what brought them to the table in the first place. There's only one thing will happen when we look at Tillman, is they'll either have a very successful 6 months and then we'll have a conversation with Bayern Munich about what happens in the summer, or he'll do what Ahmed Diallo did and then he'll just kind of fade away for the next 6 months and he'll move on. James Sandbank's a different proposition because I think he is someone who's got that versatility. He's played a lot of football first 6 months, and a lot of the whispers are that a lot of their injured players aren't quite up to speed as of yet. So I still think we might need James Sands to play a bit of football, whether it is in midfield or at the back. Obviously, Conor Goldson not quite ready to go. Philippe Hollander certainly not. And same with John Souter. So I'm just wondering if we're expecting maybe James Sands to continue to play a little bit. And I think for someone with his versatility, a fee of in and around kind of £2 to £3 million actually might not be that bad an investment.
Yeah, no, I don't think that at all. I think, I agree with that. I don't think a fee is a bad idea. That fee is a bad idea at all. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words there. He's played 20 games already this season for Rangers. He played 14 games last season in multiple positions. As you mentioned, that versatility, it's always good to have someone who can slot in. And he's never going to be that glory player. You know, he's never going to be that guy that beats six players and puts in the top corner. He's a guy that just sort of gets on with his job. And we did see a wee blip in form from him. You know, there was the PSV game where the ball nearly went over his head. And after that, PSV sort of just targeted him. Because he isn't a natural defender. He's a centre midfielder. But he's someone who, when called upon, he hasn't exactly shirked his duties. He hasn't thrown the towel in. He hasn't downed tools. He's been someone who kept playing. And I think that's something that's lost because a lot of people just see the price tag, £3.5 million. And to them, I say, well, for £3.5 million, you're not going to get a defender and a central midfielder. If James Sands can play both of them and is a good squad player, I don't see anything wrong with paying that, because he's 22, he's only going to get better with experience. Because we talked about Tillman, his first proper season. He's only really had two full seasons in the MLS, 2020 and 2021, before coming over to Scotland for 6 months last year. So we are, this is the reality of Rangers. The players we get in are either at the back end of their career or they're just starting out as professionals. They're not going to be the complete, the real McCoy. They're not going to be the finished article.
Yeah, and I think that certainly kind of aligns with obviously the makeup of Beale's backroom side. I think one of the things with James Sands is that going towards the end of this season, you're going to be looking at potentially Ryan Jack, Scott Arfield and Stephen Davis all being out of contract, and I'm maybe looking at James Sands as maybe being the kind of natural replacement for Ryan Jack in the squad. I think Jack's injury worries have just been too consistent over the last kind of 2 years to really go, well, do you then give him another deal? I think Stephen Davis, I think it'll take a lot for us to bring him on again. Scott Arfield might get another year, but again, he's not someone that you would be wanting to start or play every game, or certainly play as much football as he's had to do the first half of this season. So I think you may be looking at him as being a player who you maybe want to try and retain. It. He seems to be enjoying his life in Glasgow, and he's certainly not making any noises about not wanting to continue to be here next season. So, I'm expecting to see a lot more of James Sands between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree. You mentioned Ryan Jack's injury worries. I think Ryan Jack is in the Philip Hollander, Kamar Roof bracket where they can be our best player in that position on their day, but their day is far too infrequent at the moment, and the money they're on is not money we can waste for players that are not playing as much as they should be. Stephen Davis, I think this will be his last season. There was talks of him leaving for Motherwell or St Mirren as a sort of player coach last year. But I think it might be a season too far next year for him. I don't I don't blame him for any poor performances. I just think it is a case of age and the club, a club the size of Rangers. Scott Arfield, when he signed on for another year, my thoughts were he was going to start the season and you were going to bring Alec Lowry in with the aim for maybe about end of October for Alec Lowry to be playing regularly and for Scott Arfield to be that sub to give Alec Lowry a rest. It's not happened that way, unfortunately, due to injury and maybe Gio's over-reliance on certain senior players. But for me, Arfield, I think if he's given another contract next season, I think it very much should be a sub role and a cup run sort of player. That senior role that Stephen Davis plays, that should be the role Scott Arfield plays next season.
Yeah, but I don't think we can afford to probably let every single one of those experienced guys who are out of contract at the end of the season all to walk out the door. But I think that there's certainly scope for a couple of them to be retained, but I don't think we can go carte blanche like we did this season and retain every single one of them because that's not worked for us for one reason or another that's been well heralded on here. One other thing on his entry before we go to look at the makeup of the backroom staff, Ross. What do you think he's going to do with regards to the goalkeeping position?
That is a tough one because John McLaughlin looked devoid of confidence when he was taken out of the firing line after Ajax. And to be honest, I don't think it helped that Alan McGregor's a great servant to the club. Alan McGregor is a great goalkeeper, but last season he was too infrequent. He should have been taken out of the firing line last season. He wasn't. McLaughlin rightfully started this season and wasn't up to it. But I think there was too many people who were maybe looking at it through blue-tinted goggles where they thought it was the Alan McGregor of old and they thought as soon as Alan McGregor's in, all this is going to be rosy and, you know, this isn't an Alan McGregor that makes mistakes. Alan McGregor's a bit older, he's a bit slower now. So truthfully, I don't think either of them should be playing. I think he should be playing Robbie McCrory, because if you've retained him and he's on a new 1 year contract and you're going to bring him in to be either your first or second choice keeper next year, you can't have him having two full seasons of no football. You know, last time we saw him play was the Celtic game when most of the team were out due to COVID. That was back in August 2021. So I think he needs to come in for 6 months. And I think you either offer John McLaughlin a way out of the club or a loan, and you leave Alan McGregor as your second choice.
Remember, McLaughlin's out of contract at the end of the season as well, so it's one of them where I agree with you. I think you've got to start now going for the sake of young McCrory's career, as he can't continue to be a number three goalkeeper and not play any football at 25. Yeah. You've either got to go, right, he's got something that we want to use and we'll actually play him, or you let him go and he does the same as his brother has done up in Aberdeen and have a career, because just now he's completely wasted. He's not like Andy Firth, who was quite happy being the number three goalkeeper and taking the warm-ups and being part of the crowd. This is a young boy that's got his career in front of him, being in Scotland squads, so I don't think you can allow him just to kind of dwindle his career away. So I would be absolutely looking to try and blood him and give him the 6 months to go, has he got it? And if he hasn't, then maybe look in the summer to actually bring in a goalkeeper. But
I think that should be the scouting department's role right now. I think if John McLaughlin is allowed to leave in January and we keep Alan McGregor and say, right, look, this is your 6 months, this is your swan song, and we are giving Robbie McCrory at 25 the opportunity to be Rangers number one, I think in the background, Rangers should be scouting at least two or three goalkeepers to bring in for the case of one, if Robbie McCrory isn't good enough, and two, if we need a backup keeper, we have it there when the 41-year-old, he'll be 41 when he, next year, won't he?
Yeah.
Alan McGregor either leaves or retires, because I really don't think he should be staying. You're talking about 25-year-old, obviously 15 games for Morton, 24 games and a half season for Queen of the South, followed by 8 games for Livingston, and then 18 games for Livingston in the 2021 season. And then since then, he's had 2 games. You can't go from regularly playing to not playing for 2 years. So I think if he's not going to make McCrory number one, I think McCrory needs to go on a 6-month loan before coming back next year.
Yeah, get up some football. I totally agree with that. Okay. Mentioned injuries, and I think it's obviously a big thing that has plagued our season so far. Talk of fitness, and I'm delighted the fact that Michael Beale's mentioned the fact that he wants to get the players fitter and hungrier and ready to go again. Makeup of his backroom staff, to me, very interesting, Ross. Neil Banfield, Damien Matthew, Harry Watling, all coming with him from Queen's Park Rangers. I like that mix of experience and a bit of youth there. So Banfield, people are not aware, had a long period of time with Arsenal and their youth development team, and then under Arsene Wenger, went to QPR under Mark Warburton, and then obviously stayed with Michael Beale being there. But the guy's 60 years old, and I think he's got quite a reputation for being quite a taskmaster in terms of his training regime. And I like the fact that at QPR, each of the coaching staff seem to have their own sort of areas of expertise. So Banfield worked pretty much predominantly with the defenders at QPR. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not that kind of mechanism carries on up in Glasgow, and he gets the role of kind of trying to shape our defence, and maybe someone like Leon King could really benefit from a really experienced coach in that way to try and bring him on.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's encouraging. It's not just a case of the old band's back together, because as much as we would welcome the likes of Gary McAllister and Tom Coleshaw back to Ibrox, that would just seem a bit of a step back. You know, a lot of people would have taken Steven Gerrard back, but if you're going to just bring everyone back bar him, it's just like sort of a failed reboot, isn't it? It's good to see we've got disciplinarians. It's good to see we've got that solid background. And he did point out, he said, it's not just me, it's a management team. That was something Gerrard was big on. You know, whenever Gerrard get manager of the month or manager of the year, there was always a photo of him and the whole management team with the award. So it's nice that he's not arrogant enough to think he knows it all. He has people there to help him, people there who are expertise on, obviously he's got Harry Watling, he's the set piece coach. He's certainly got his work cut out for him, because we've been awful at set pieces for a while now. So it's nice that we have specific people and specific roles for each of the coaching staff, because we mentioned him before about the hierarchy when he when Gerrard was there. It's nice that he's got hierarchy and it's his own people in there. It's not an old pals act. It's the best people for the job.
Yeah, absolutely. Damien Matthew coming in as well, and he's kind of mid-50s, a ton of experience originally with Chelsea's academy, which was where Michael Beale met him. He very much looked after QPR's midfield and that kind of role down there. And again, it's just something that I think we could really benefit from having a kind of specialist in that sort of area. But all three of those people, so Beale, Matthew and Banfield, all great exponents in terms of youth development and bringing people on. And for a club like us that are determined to obviously invest in youth, we spent a lot of money in the summer in terms of bringing in guys like Zach Lovelace and Charlie McCann and people like that. So we've really got to start building a bit of a pathway for some of these most kind of talented guys into the first team squad, because the money yet won't necessarily be there to go out and bring in, as you mentioned earlier, finished articles. So that development piece is going to be vital for us to kind of be successful and move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously it was mentioned by Gerrard when Nathan Patterson was coming through at Rangers. They saw enough in him to let the likes of Matt Polster and John Flanagan go and were confident that he could fill in should anything happen to James Tavernier. But I think with certain positions, much like right back for James Tavernier, who is obviously our club captain, you need to have a realism of being good enough, but also being young enough that they're willing to wait their opportunity, because someone like James Tavernier doesn't miss many games. And certainly at centre back, the likes of Leon King, they'll have benefited from Conor Goldson's injury, but we need to have more waiting in the wings in case there is a, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but at another time the likes of Goldson goes down or the likes of Tavernier goes down, you're going to have players in that academy good enough, but you're waiting for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. So, four games to go before the Celtic game. And you'll get those games, obviously, Hibs on the 15th of December. Do you expect to see kind of instant results in terms of the kind of Beal regime? I think the Bayer Leverkusen game on the 10th is really going to show what they're looking to try and do. And I think we'll really look to that game to see, right, who's fit, who's ready to go, and will maybe give us our first kind of real sight of what sort of style Beal is going to try and implement in those four games up to at least the transfer window opening. And then, of course, the Celtic game, I think, is going to be his first big test in terms of really looking to try and give them a bit of a bloody nose and give the fans something to hang their hat on going into the second half of the season.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the word implementing. If we can see what is being done, but maybe the results aren't matching it, you can maybe understand and give time. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I want that. I'd love us to hit the ground running and put six past Hibs and then go on a win and run and then beat Hibs Celtic 3-0. That's but I think we need to be realistic. We have a lot of injuries. We are. The new coaching staff is coming in and they'll have 2 and a bit weeks to work with the squad. I think if we can see progression gradually on the pitch, improvements like, we only have one more loss than Celtic this year, but we've got 3 draws to their 0. So losing silly goals or snatching a draw from the jaws of victory, stuff like that, improving at set pieces, that's what Harry Watling's been brought in for. Just small improvements that we can see on the pitch. And then we've only played 15 games this season. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, the league's done because we're 9 points behind. The league is never done after 15 games. We've still to play Celtic 3 times, and then there is 23 games to play all in. So for me, the league's not done. Is it a disaster if he doesn't win the league? No, it's not, but I certainly don't think we can turn around and say you've got a free crack at it. I think there's improvements we need to make on the pitch, but I think as long as we can see a certain style, which we didn't see under Gio, it just looked lost. It looked like we were rudderless. And I think as long as we see improvements and see a style being implemented, I think he does have this sort of 6 months to work with the squad. But I certainly do think we should be challenging.
Yeah, and you've also got to look at, we've got the League Cup semi-final in Aberdeen. That almost becomes a must-win to give us a chance of a cup final. Guaranteed, more than likely, it might be against them. But again, we need to be winning, certainly that semi-final against Aberdeen. You've got a Scottish Cup fourth-round game away at St Johnstone, which certainly isn't the easiest game that you've got, but any Rangers team shouldn't be looking at a St Johnstone match and going, oh dear. So that's another opportunity, and certainly these two cups was something that under Gerrard we didn't do well enough in, and that's certainly going to be the first test for Beal to go. Even if we don't get the league this year, then we need to be looking to get at least one of the two cups in the bank. Having won the Scottish Cup last year, I think we need to really be looking to keep that going and at least have something to show at the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree. That was sort of Alex McLeish's remit when he first came in the door. Granted, Celtic were a fair bit further away from Rangers, but it was he came in, Rangers were in the League Cup semi-final. It was get us to the final, win the cup, and he managed to do that and then went on to win a treble. If Michael Beale could do that, hey, that'd be absolutely, absolutely wonderful. But the Celtic game will be an interesting one, I think, because Michael Beale is part of that coaching staff that went seven games unbeaten against them. It seemed for a while we couldn't beat them when it mattered. You know, we beat them 2-0 when the league, they'd already won the league. Then they came to Ibrox and beat us 2-0. And then they beat us in the League Cup final when we absolutely battered them. And then we had seven games against them. One where Gerrard was in his house. Tavernier was out. Conor Goldson led the side that day. We had seven games in a row where they couldn't get near us. And if we can implement that style, because I've always said Celtic play one way, and it's not a surprise when they come out and attack you. That was so frustrating about Gio's Rangers. If we can match them, you know, I don't have any fear going up against them. It's the games around about that, as I mentioned before, the three draws we've had already this season. That's where we need to improve. And here's hoping that does improve, because I certainly don't think the league's done. But there needs to be improvements to make sure it's not a cakewalk for them.
Yeah, and I think that's where these next four games are going to be vitally important, because you want to be going into that game on the second no worse than where we are at the moment. I hope maybe they drop something on the way as well, but we need to be certainly looking at winning those four games and then get into that one going. If we can give them a bloody nose, it just gives them something else to think about.
And I think as well, sorry, just one other thing, looking at the table just now, Beale mentioned wanting to win and win with style. We've only conceded one more goal than them this season, 13-14. But their goals scored is far superior to us, 50-34. That's something as well, eating away at that goal difference as well, if we're winning and winning with style.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And it seems to be something that the Beale certainly seems to be hanging his hat on. Now he's made the statements now. He now needs to back that up with results and performances on the park. So a lot of work to be done, and certainly will be done over these next couple of weeks leading up to that Bayer Leverkusen game on the 10th of December. Aside from what we've already spoken about, Ross, is there anything else that you think needs to be the priority for Michael Beale and his squad? Mentioned, obviously, we've got maybe a couple other appointments to come in. Who do you see is missing from his backroom staff that we still need?
Well, I did mention the likes of Culshaw and Gary McAllister not being like an old pals act, and there's new people coming in, there's fresh blood coming in. If the likes of those were to come in, I wouldn't have a complaint there. But I'm not an expert in the likes of, you know, backroom staff. I just think we do need a few players in January. And I hope he's backed. I don't expect him to have 10 million to spend, obviously. But I hope he's backed, and I hope funds are made available for him to bring two to three players in to improve the first team. Because if next season is going to be a rebuild, if we are going to have the likes of, you know, I'm not saying they're leaving, but we did mention them on this podcast, the likes of Davis, McGregor, Arfield, Jack, Hollander and Roof leaving, you can't have 10 players going out and 10 players coming in, and then 10 players just having the summer to gel, because football doesn't work like that. It's not FIFA. So if you've got three players coming in January and giving those three players time to gel and get used to Scotland and deciding if they're the players for you going forward, it certainly makes the manager's job a lot easier in the summer when he's going out and going, right, what do I need? Who do I need to replace, etc.
Yeah, you've also got the old cliche in terms of getting some of the injured players back will be like a new signing, and people like Yanis Adji, Tom Lawrence, who we liked the look of until we didn't get back. Now we don't quite know when Tom Lawrence is going to be fit to return, but him and Hadji especially are going to be big additions to the squad once they are fit and ready to go.
Absolutely. Well, sorry, Tom Lawrence was that bit of bite in midfield, and Enis Hadji, I mean, you just need to go back to the 1-0 game at Ibrox, where he came on at half-time and just completely changed the game. They didn't know how to deal with him. He will be like a new signing after a year out.
Yep, absolutely. So no, lots to be positive about, lots to look forward to. I'm presuming that Rangers are going to continue with the charm offensive and the PR of the training videos and everything coming out. Say, notable that the likes of Lowry and Lovrace are training with the first team squad rather than playing with the B team tonight. And I'll hope that is a sign that we're going to look to try and integrate some of our top youngsters in with the first team squad and give them an opportunity to show what they can do, because certainly that was one of the biggest failings for me. It was under Gio that it was only really Leon King, and that was through necessity that got brought on. So real opportunity for these guys, and yeah, we'll see what happens with Bayer Leverkusen in just over kind of 10 days time. Big thank you, Ross, for giving you your time here on the Fourth Official again. It's been good to have you on it. And just look at some of the things that are going to be on the radar for Michael Beale in his first few weeks. Won't be too long coming around for that Hibs game. Certainly, as much as the World Cup's been there and there's been football to watch,
it's not the same.
No, it's nothing that you're really that invested in, and you can get the juices flowing again. So, but it won't be long until it's proper football's back.
Exactly. It's not the same. I've not yelled FC Kent once at my TV, you know, so it's just not the same.
I know, absolutely. But no, thanks for coming on. Plenty more to come here on the Fourth Official, and a big thank you to everyone, as always, for listening. Quick shout out just before we finish tonight's pod. I sent out on Twitter just to some of your listeners if you had any comments in terms of what you were looking to try and see out of Michael Beale's first few days in office. Greg Guthrie replied back to say that he needs to look at that squad and question who's in and who's out. And if they're out, then we need Ross Wilson to move them on in January. If they're in, then look to sign them back up. So it's very much a comment towards Morelos and Kent there. But for him, fitness issues are to address first and foremost. Without it, then tactics won't work, as the fitness is required and the remainder of the backroom staff is to be appointed. So that's what Greg is looking for. Kind of hard to disagree with any of that, Greg, and I think that's probably a good place to round up this episode here on the Fourth Official. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back soon. Take care. Bye-bye.